John chapter 21, 15 through 19. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto them, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me.
Every good teacher realizes the value of repetition. Every good coach, every good athlete recognizes the need to practice the basics. Every good musician recognizes that same need. A traveler once checked into a hotel earlier in the day, and he found that the room next to him was occupied by Isaac Perlman, world-famous violinist. That night, Isaac Perlman was given a concert in whatever that town was. But that afternoon, the traveler heard the great violinist practice scales and runs and basic fingering techniques for 3 hours before he ever heard Perlman rehearse the piece that he was going to play at the concert that night. And God's reminded Israel over and over again in the Old Testament to remember, to not forget. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9 say this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thy eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Why? Because we humans forget. We forget so quickly. And Israel, like we, forgot those important truths. Isaiah 17, verse 10. Because thou hast forgotten the God of thy salvation, and hast not been mindful of the rock of thy strength, God even instituted the Passover as a yearly reminder of his redemption, his justice, his grace, his mercy, and his judgment. And he gave to the church, to us, the Lord's Supper as a reminder, as a memorial of what Jesus did in accomplishing our salvation. And Peter, in our text that we'll be reading this morning, takes up the theme of remembering and rehearsing things that are important. If you look in 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 through 15. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. Now, in these four verses, how many times has Peter used the phrase in remembrance? Verse 12 says, in remembrance. Verse 13, in remembrance. Verse 14, not there, but verse 15, in remembrance. Three times in these four verses, Peter says he wants us to remember something. And if you look in chapter 3, verse 1, it says, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Peter wants us to remember something. And shortly after, Peter wrote this second epistle, which you recall was only 1 year after he wrote his first epistle, 1 Peter, and then a year later, 2 Peter. And shortly after Peter wrote this, Jude writes to his readers, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Verse 5. And then verse 17. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jude and Peter were following the Lord's example when he reminded his apostles in John 15:20, remember the word I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. If they've kept my saying, they'll keep yours also. Remember what I've said to you. And in this passage, which is somewhat of a parenthesis, Peter gives a personal reminder of the importance of keeping in remembrance essential truth. And in the scripture reading this morning, John chapter 21, Jesus restored Peter. But he not only restored him, he also called Peter to pastor, to feed my sheep, to shepherd my sheep. And here, in verses 12 through 15, Peter reveals his pastoral passion to remind his sheep of important truths. He has four motivations: urgency, kindness, faithfulness, and brevity. Urgency, kindness, faithfulness, and brevity. Let's pray. Our Father, we ask that you would be glorified and that you would be lifted up. Help us to focus on your word, and Father, to be able to discern clearly what it means and how we should respond to it. We praise you, Father, that you are our God. Amen. Verse 12a, urgency, the first part of verse 12. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. And the wherefore refers back to the greatness of salvation he talked about in verses 1 through 4, and then the blessedness of assurance that he spoke of in verses 5 through 11. Don't forget those great themes. How great your salvation is. How much God has provided and blessed us. in regard to salvation and all the blessings that come along with it that are part of that package deal, if you will. And don't forget how blessed it is to be assured of the salvation, to have that confidence. We sang about it that last song. With confidence, I now draw nigh. Hebrews 4 says we can come boldly before the throne of grace. We can come with confidence, knowing that Christ is my Savior. Peter also would not be negligent. He wouldn't shrink his duties, but he would always be ready to remind his readers of the truth. And remember the theme of 2 Peter. Avoid false teaching. The best defense against false teaching is true living based on the truth of God's Word. If you are actively seeking to live out the truth of God's Word, you will not easily fall to false teaching. And contrary to what some may think, there is no such thing as new spiritual truth. There may be a clearer understanding of it. There may be a new illustration, perhaps, to help someone grasp the truth, to help you grasp the truth. There may be a new way to teach or present the truth, but there is not new spiritual truth. Remember, he has said, God has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. We're not waiting for anything else. It's completed. People don't always know the truth. So an old truth might be new to them, to you. There's no new revelation, no new truth from God. Preachers and teachers are just reminding people of what God has said in His Word, seeking to make it stick, so to speak. Karen, did you ever know... He was at BJ before I got there, and his phrase was, hit the students in the face with pie often enough, and sooner or later they'll lick some off. Eustra, maybe? Anyway, so the preacher's purpose, one of his goals, teacher, is to repeat truth often enough that it sticks, that you lick some off and get it inside you, and it starts to transform you. Even the New Testament has four Gospels that tell the story of Jesus four different perspectives, four different ways. And Peter has a sense of urgency to remind his readers of the truth. Why? Because he's shortly going to die. And he has that urgency. Yet, Peter is not just an urgent shepherd, he's also a kind shepherd. He shows kindness. The second half of verse 12. Though you know them and be established in the present truth, Scripture extols gentleness, meekness, and tenderness. And Peter displays those characteristics here as he acknowledges that his readers already possess those truths. And not only do they possess them and know them, but they're firmly established in them. His readers had already heard other inspired New Testament letters preached and read. Look in chapter 3. Turn to my Bible. It's one page over. And it's really hard to turn one page. I keep turning three or four. One page, chapter 3, verse 15. Peter's ending now his letter, and he says, we account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. So they had some of the epistles of Paul, and they had had them read, had them taught or preached. Peter understands that. He does not denigrate them. He says, you know these truths. You're firmly established in them. I understand that. They had given evidence by their faithfulness that the true gospel was present with them. He was not questioning whether they were genuine believers. He was not questioning whether they were mature believers. Yet he still felt an urgent need, an urgent necessity to remind them, for them to receive his reminder that in light of the danger that they were going to face from the infiltration of false teachers, they needed this reminder. God's truth endures forever, whether we remember it or not. But his truth among the minds of men is always in danger of being forgotten or neglected. Urgency, kindness, and thirdly, faithfulness. Verse 13. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. The word meet there means proper or fitting or right. Peter was one of the inner circle of disciples of Jesus. He was one of the three. What are the three most well-known disciples? Peter, James, and John. Have you ever said James, John, and Peter? It's always Peter, James, and John, right? He was one of the inner circle, so to speak. He was the recognized leader of the 12 apostles, and he lived very close to Jesus for those 3 years or so he was with them. Right? Perhaps closer to divine truth than any other man. Yet, Peter and his fellow apostles still didn't fully understand or appreciate the truth. The Lord questioned them in John 14, verse 9. Jesus saith unto him, have I been with you? Have I so long time been with you, and yet hast thou not known me? Now, he was directing that to Philip, but Philip was just voicing the same question they all had. Haven't I been with you long enough, and yet you still don't know me? Peter remembered that. He remembered that for 3 years I was taught by the Master, and yet he said, I still didn't understand him. Peter also tragically, monumentally defected from his Lord. He denied him. But praise God, only for a time. Jesus, in the passage we looked at this morning, read this morning, restored him. Peter knew firsthand that even though his readers were established and grounded in the truth, they needed constant reminders. They needed constant shepherding to protect them from wandering away from truth into error and into sin, just like sheep do. I remember my second year of teaching, I had a senior who had sheep, and he continually said, sheep are so dumb. Sheep are so dumb. And I asked him, he said, they're dumb. He said, you always have to be after them. He said, they never go where they're supposed to go. He said, they're always getting lost. They're always getting into trouble. And I thought, what a picture of believers. All we like sheep have gone astray. It's not all we like sheep have figured it out and went the right way. No, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. Peter understood firsthand the necessity for constant reminders. Peter was faithful to teach the people God had given him. The shepherd's faithfulness is not just helpful and profitable and beneficial to his flock. It's also the right thing to do. I mentioned that word meet in verse 13. I think it meet. It's fitting. It's proper. It's right for him to do as long as he was in his tabernacle. Now, what does tabernacle mean? Tabernacle means tent. It's the same word, sometimes translated tent, sometimes tabernacle. It was a temporary structure. But in this context, he's referring to his body. I think it proper. I think it's right. As long as I am living in this body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. The idea of a tabernacle referring to his body, that was a familiar, something they would have been very familiar with in the Middle East. Some shepherds traveled around, be like a sheep camp today perhaps, a tent. The nomads of the Middle East lived in tents. Abraham lived in a tent. It wasn't, you know, it was the culture, the custom of the day. Peter, too, was in a temporary house. And he knew that one day God would fold up his house and that tent would be gone. He'd be free. His eternal soul would then enter heaven. No longer be housed in a tent, but would go to heaven. And it's the same with us. As long as Peter was in this tabernacle, Peter was going to be faithful to stir up those the Lord gave him contact with by way of reminder. And that phrase, to stir up, translates a verb meaning to arouse completely or to be thoroughly awakened. Believers can become sluggish, sleepy in spiritual things, failing to be alert to spiritual danger, failing to discern spiritual issues. Perhaps Peter was recalling his own inability to stay awake in the garden. Peter, couldn't you pray for 1 hour? Right, three times he came back and found Peter and the disciples sleeping. That night Jesus was betrayed, Peter was not stirred up. He failed to discern what was going on, and he took matters into his own hand, pulled a sword, the fisherman wielding a sword, and thankfully missed Malchus's head, which I'm sure was what he was aiming for, and the Lord had to tell him, put it away. This is the reason I came. The godly shepherd awakens his flock, primarily by way of reminder. A sluggish spiritual life allows one to deny Christ. If you're not spiritually awake, if you're not spiritually discerning, if you're spiritually sleepy, you could easily enter into a situation like Peter did where he denies his Lord. Even great musicians and athletes must practice the basics over and over. How many instances of a team losing a game that they should have won, the coach says, we have to go back to basics. The majority of us have experienced something like that. We need to be reminded of the major themes, the major doctrines, the major commands of God's Word. No matter how spiritually mature we are, no matter how much truth we know, we still need reminders to live out that truth, to apply it. Not just to accumulate it, but to live it. Urgency, kindness, faithfulness, and then brevity. Brevity. Peter's motivations include a clear understanding of the brevity of life. Sometime, I believe, a week ago, a motorcyclist from the area was killed. I'm sure when he got on that motorcycle, he was not thinking, this will be the last time I start that. I'm not sure who he was. Not sure about his passenger. I believe she lived. Those high schoolers in those recent school shootings, I doubt that any one of them walked into that building today thinking, I will never enter this building again. A former church, there was a boy, was it Micah Kennedy, about 14, went to sleep in his bed, and he woke up in heaven. His family, doctors, no idea other than the fact that the Lord said, come. 14, Perfect health, no problem, just left. The brevity of life. Peter was going to shortly put off the physical tent in which he was living. Look in verses 14 and 15. Knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle. Remember, he's referring to his body. Even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. Peter knew his death was near. And interestingly, Paul used the exact same word, the same picture, word picture, in 2 Corinthians 5:1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. This tent, this tabernacle, put off. In 2 Peter 14, was usually used in the context of removing a garment. Peter had no fear of death. He was going to lay his body aside like an old, worn out, unneeded garment. He's going to take off that, lay it aside. What fear is there in taking off a coat, a jacket, when you no longer need it? That's how Peter viewed death. He had no fear of death, not even this death of violence or torture that he was going to endure. Now, the word shortly has two meanings. It could mean soon, as in not much time is going to elapse, or it could mean swiftly. And it's a word that's only used by Peter. So here's another first time for Peter. He uses it twice. Here and in chapter 2, verse 1, if you look there. Chapter 2, he begins his topic of false teachers. It says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Okay, same word he's using there. It would seem that swiftly fits the context better in verse 14. Knowing that swiftly I must put off this my tabernacle. Particularly when you couple it and consider the phrase, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Recall our scripture reading. The Lord prophesied to Peter that his death was going to be violent, even crucifixion. Okay. When he told Peter that he was going to die, the expression he used, you're going to stretch out your hands and people are going to take you where you don't want to go. When you're old. Right? So when you're old. So think about it. Peter was not old when he was in prison and Herod had scheduled his execution for the day before. Peter was chained to a guard on this side and a guard on that side. He was in the inner prison and Peter was sleeping. He was not fretful. He was not anxious and all in a turmoil because Jesus had told him, when you're old. Well, I'm not old yet. That means whatever my execution schedule is, it's going to be postponed. And here now, he is old. He has lived knowing that any moment of his life, he could swiftly come to an end. Brevity. Are you living with brevity of life in the forefront of your thoughts? Are you ready to depart? Peter was also endeavoring to enable his readers to be able to remember these things. What things? What he wrote about in verses 1 through 11, about the greatness of salvation, the blessedness of being assured that you possess that salvation, and what he was going to write about. The phrase "will endeavor" is a word he used before. He used it in verse 5 and verse 10. There it's translated "give diligence." Remember we talked about maximum sustained effort. He says, I will give maximum sustained effort to always keep you in remembrance. Peter then uses the word in verse 15 decease. The Greek word is exodos. We have a book named after it, Exodus. What is an exodus? Exodus means departure, a going out, leaving one place, the body, the earth, to go to another place, heaven, is how he's using it in this context. He's using the exodus, speaking of his death, his decease. That's a great way of thinking about Christian death. Transfer, not a termination. You're being transferred from this body on earth to a glorified body in heaven. Going out of this body so I can enter into that everlasting kingdom he spoke about in verse 11. Now the exodus of Israel, which was being the image being portrayed here, is being led from bondage. Did I say the exodus of Israel or exodus from Israel? The exodus of Israel from Egypt. They were in bondage in Egypt. They were going to be transferred, taken to freedom in the promised land. That's an apt picture of the believer's death. No longer bound in the body, but being led to freedom in heaven. No longer bound, having a body that you have to fight sin and the effects of sin, pain and death. What a picture of heaven. Now, how does Peter guarantee his readers would always have these things in remembrance after his exodus? And the word always there is another word that's used nowhere else in Scripture but here by Peter. It means, it emphasizes no periods of forgetting. I will have you continually, always remembering. Some think Peter was guaranteeing that. He was by referring to pouring his life into the lives of others, extending his life by pouring it into others. Perhaps Silas or Mark. Both were closely associated with him. Perhaps he was referring to helping Mark write the Gospel of Mark. Most likely it was Peter writing the first epistle and this second epistle. He was striving, giving maximum effort, endeavoring to finish this epistle before he met his crucifixion. Knowing God was moving him to write it, he knew it would stand forever so that they could read it, reread it, study it, memorize it, and always have it in their remembrance. And Peter wrote with a sense of urgency, with a sense of kindness, with a sense of faithfulness, with a sense of brevity. He desired his readers to remember the greatness of salvation, the blessedness of assurance, and to recognize the false teaching so it would not rob them of their rich spiritual heritage. Brothers and sisters, recall how God saved you. Recall from what God saved you. Are you confident that he has? Do you have that assurance? Think of the blessed comfort of that assurance. As things happen around you, negative things, perhaps, terrible things, perhaps, think, I am a child of God. Think of the comfort that that assurance brings. Consider the day of your exodus, the day when you will depart. It may come swiftly in physical death or in being snatched away, caught up to be with the Lord. Spiritual basics need to be rehearsed, lest we forget these great truths. Our Father, we ask that you'd bless your word to our hearts, to our wills, to our minds. Father, I pray that you would use your word to transform us to be more like Christ. Father, thank you for the greatness of the salvation you've given to us, for all the blessings that are ours. Thank you that your Spirit speaks to our spirit and tells us that we are the sons, the daughters of God. We praise you for reminders. Lord, as we, after our meal, remember the death of Jesus until he comes. Father, thank you for what you have done on our behalf. We ask that anyone here who is not saved, not born again, anyone here who is not assured of that, that you would have them speak to someone and to get that assurance. Thank you for your blessing. Amen.